Chema. So, now we ideal of marriage. So, as we know that mother foresaw in 60 the breakdown of the marriage system. And she gave a reason, but she also saw that those who marry, they'll continue. Marriages will always be there. That's what she says. But she was not much in favor of legal things, because to avoid illegality, as she said, she also spoke of a great degree of flexibility and plasticity in the system, a wideness, a kind of freedom which should be allowed, because evolution cannot be in any other way. But yes, marriages, if not marriage, togetherness. Now that is something they have not opposed. Even Sri Aurobindo has spoken about, even a lot about it. So togetherness is a different thing than marriage. Marriage is an institution. So they're not opposed to people living together and having their journey together. So we must understand whatever name we want to give to it. So there is, of course, the lower kind of togetherness, which was purely for a family life and for having a child, progeny. It's almost like an animal seeking security and shelter. And that required marriage, because it required to reinforce, and because child is going to come into existence. So you need all these checks and balances and social support system. So as we see, that is going, because most people, marriages were held early in those years almost everywhere in the world, and certainly even in India, post puberty, it was a lot of ceremonies associated with that. Even the other day, someone was asking, why did the father do kanyadan? Well, kanyadan, because see, the moment the child, daughter, crosses puberty, there is a risk, and that risk of course remains, which that, if a boy and a girl get together, the maximum problem is to the girl. But the answer to that is not these early marriages and rules. Now, the answer to that is education and conscious choices, which fortunately are available now. But at some point, these were not available. So, post 14 or whatever puberty, pass on. Now you take care, Mr. Man. But this didn't mean that they started having children. In most places, the early marriage was followed by a period during which, though they were married technically, and yet they won't have the physical relation, and that would take a few years. That was called as gauna in Indian culture. It had its old world charm. There's a nice movie around it. I'm forgetting the name. Balika Vadhu. Yeah. It had its own charm, because they discovered each other. It's like 14, 15, 16, they grow together, They become friends, which is what ultimately in a stable married life you become. So that's carried an old world charm, but it had many ills, so that's why it has gone. But togetherness, all this is going to be there. This is a very lower motive that, you have a progeny, you have a family system. No. Ultimately, there is a truth of togetherness. Now, this movie is a very idealized picturization. That's why one appreciates it. But not that it was happening all the time, because they never got to really get together, meet, see each other and, be together. And then what if you discover he's not the friend that I want to be with? So what do you do? So we need to understand that now there are other ideas. People don't marry for having children. Now there are a lot of couples who opt not to have child. They are smart couples. No, because see, children will always continue. Again, there were all kinds of religious sanctions associated with it. Unless you have a child, who will give your tarpan, mukti, kaun dega? Now, there have been many instances where this has been... Also, in India, if you follow the tradition, there have been every kind of tradition. It's not that it is necessary, and you should be again inwardly so developed that you don't need tarpan arpan. But this is how it was believed that, who will... in ashram, this is broken anyways. So, because what happened to sannyasi who doesn't have a child anyways? So who gives the tarpan for the sannyasi? So obviously these things were there to hold a social order and to make the child responsible. Obligatory, that only child will do. If the child doesn't do, you will not get mukti, whatever it means. So anyways, that is gone. So this was one level of togetherness. So another level of togetherness is where now husband and wife or men and women come together, mainly centered around a higher ideal. So while obviously the physical and vital things come in, emotional attachment also takes place, but most important is life is not centered around family and child. Important thing is that, but it's centered around a greater ideal, a higher ideal. That need not be a spiritual path. That could be simply that there is a greater truth of life which they both feel moved towards, and hence they come together and they support each other in that journey. I know of a couple of such instances where the man and the woman, they didn't have a child, they did get married, but they live in a forest because they wanted to, you know, help the tribals. Now this is an ideal, whatever we may say, but I met them and, you know, they had snakes and they had all this, but both are very adventurous and enthusiastic about it. Very nice to meet them. I know of another instance where they both loved animal rescuing and, you know, they would again live and had a shelter for animals, both husband and wife, and that's something so beautiful. So it's an ideal. It's not necessarily spiritual, but it could be to educate the underprivileged, any kind of ideal. So it's an ideal in the mind, and better than coming together to have family and children. So that's the lowest. So in humanity, we can see two ideals. One is the lowest, hardly can be called an ideal, more like an animal marriage. Animals don't marry, but something like that. So marriage was necessary so that animal propensities can be kept in check, not because of spontaneous love. And the higher, where they come together for an ideal. But beyond it, there was a conception of the spiritual togetherness. It's there in Indian thought. So we have classic names, you know, Anusuya and Atri, Arundhati and Vasishth. These two are the classic examples. And of course, Agast Rishi and Lopamudra. It's not about children. It's not even about ideal, but about a great spiritual truth that they are seeking and working for. There a physical relationship may or may not intervene. It becomes irrelevant. So these are the things which are developing for future. So Mother and Sri Aurobindo have given a guidance even for that. Not guidance, is a guidance that do this and don't do this, that they never do, but they present it so beautifully. So most people are aware of her writings in Collected Works, Volume 14, on marriage and children. But that's not what I want to read today. Most people are aware. But something else from Savitri. So how Sri Aurobindo, through the how Sri Aurobindo through Ashupati speaks about what should be the ideal of a man and woman coming together. So he is speaking to Savitri, and so he first describes her. O living inscription of the beauty of love, missiled in aureate virginity. What message? I am not touching upon each aureate virginity and all that. Probably we'll take a short reflection on that. What message of heavenly strength and bliss in thee is written with the eternal sun-white script. Now he says, one shall discover and greaten with it his life. So Sri Aurobindo speaks of two kinds of relationship in one of his writings in Ishavasya Upanishad. One where both of them are equally bright and going together. Another where one of them is spiritually developed and the other life is greatened by his or her touch. And where he speaks of this single instances, not as partners. So he takes the name of Ruru, but doesn't include Pramadvara. He takes the name of Savitri, but doesn't include Satyavan. So that is another kind of relationship. So he says, one shall discover and greaten with it his life. To whom thou loosenest thy heart's jeweled strings. What a beautiful expression. You're not going to bear your deepest secrets to anyone and everybody. O rubies of silence, lips from which they stole low laughter, music of tranquility. Every expression he is portraying the ideal feminine. Star lustrous eyes awake in sweet large night, and limbs like fine linked poems made of gold, stanza to glimmering curves by artist gods. All this we have done in Savitri readings, so I am not touching upon. Depart, where love and destiny call your charm. There is a beautiful story of the mother, something very similar, which is a sapphire tale. But the difference is the man goes all the way and, you know, he discovers in a far off island the partner. So this idea that, you know, she must be from within the community, from within, all this is going to go away. This is not consistent with the higher truth. It had its meaning at a point of time. Because again, one is invasion, true to type, elitist culture. But over a period of time, this is counter-revolutionary. Because if you have the same gene pool, you try to preserve a certain type, it works to a point. But over a period of time, it's like cloning, carbon copies begin to decline. So you have to have a freer gene pool and take the risks to progress. So she says, go and find. Shobindu, Ashwapati is telling Savitri, you go and find where love and destiny call your charm, not based on anything external. How will you know it? From your heart's intuition. There is no intellectual way. People often ask, how to know your somebody is your ideal partner? You just cannot know it by the mind. Let that be very, very clear. You may have your checklist and check all the things right, and you may be miserably wrong. Experience of a psychiatrist, okay? So take it seriously. And a person has been on the way. It doesn't work like that. So you have to go deep somewhere intuitively. Venture through the deep world to find thy mate. But there also suggestions, all kinds of things may come. For somewhere on the longing breast of earth, thy unknown lover waits for thee the unknown. There is a partner. But who, where, what? It's a discovery. One may not discover in life. It's okay. Whether alone or together, it's fine. Journey is, because that comes toward the end. How to find Janampatri? No. How to find? Put an advertisement on shadi.com? No. How to find? Ask, what are your, go on a date, go on those whatever sites are there? No. You just can't find that way. How to find? Thy soul has strength and needs no other guide than one who burns within thy bosom's powers. Not heart has strength, soul has strength. And it may find somebody who may seem outwardly very different, very opposite, yet that is the person. As they say in Hindi, yahi to hai wo. But not based on anything external. See how movies have corrupted our ideal. This I want to say. Always they will portray a woman who looks very pretty. So it's a non-starter. Beside the fact that pretty or not is an individual, you can't condition a person that this is pretty. Somebody is pretty, maybe another person's mannequin. Lifeless doll. So this is how they have totally corrupted. Similarly, they will show the man. So I always used to say, why don't they show for a change a more regular guys? Some movies have dared to do it. Very few. But generally, they corrupt the mind with, you know. There shall draw near to meet thy approaching steps the second self for whom thy nature asks. So who is this second self? He who shall walk until thy body's end. Sometimes they say, wait, see who will be there when the end draws near. Till the body's end, who will be with you? Not that they both go together or one goes early. No, one will go earlier, that's understood. But when you are departing, who is there by your side? A close-bound traveler pacing with thy pace. So they have to be together, keep pace with each other. Not that one person is shooting like a star and the other person is saying, where are you? Please come down. We have to buy certain things from the market. So pace has to be same. Is the second self. They walk together at the same pace through life. Thy lyricist, the lyricist of thy soul's most intimate chords, who understands the unspoken word, if I may use the phrase. That's why women are very smart. Huh? They ask, don't you know what I want? And the man will say, how will I know if you don't tell me? But that is the secret. He's challenging you. If you don't know without my asking, then you're not fit. You need to know. See, it's because she's intuitive. She's not a mentalized person. She's very intuitive. So she will ask these questions often. And man will say, but you never told me. I don't understand. So she is saying, you better understand my feelings before I speak. So here it is. The lyricist of thy soul's most intimate chords, who shall give voice to what in thee is mute? He expresses what you have wanted to express but could never express. Then shall you grow like vibrant kindred harps. Not same, but like kindred harps. When two musical instruments, they play together in kind of symphony. Though they are different instruments, but they are one in the beats of difference and delight. Each instrument has its own joy. But they are in sync with each other. Responsive in divine and equal strains, discovering new notes of the eternal theme. Not here to perpetuate the past, same custom, same tradition, but something new, something unprecedented, something which was never done. This experiment is going on right now in human relationship, and people are not able to understand it, to discover the new notes, new ways. Then see the same pace, same this thing. One force shall be your mover and your guide. So the same truth should move their hearts and guide them. One light shall be around you and within. Hand in strong hand, confront heaven's question, life. See what mother has written. She has written in practical terms what Sri Aurobindo is saying poetically. Exactly the same thing. Hand in strong hand, confront heaven's question, life. Life will give its challenges. And the moment you say, no, 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 this is your problem. No, no, this is too much problem. Oh, you are a problem. I can't deal with this. No, you are together now. The problem may come to X or Y, but they have to confront it together. That's the question life poses. Challenge the ordeal of the immense disguise. It's the divine. Love, it will come disguised as death, as difficulties, as everything to will come in the way to obstruct, to create problems. And you have to take it together and walk together. And then she says, ascend from nature to divinity's heights. This journey is not just for just a higher ideal, or obviously not for family and all this, but for a higher and greater truth. Divinity's heights, you have to walk together, not just stop. You know, that's what probably meant with seven lives or whatever. Because in seven lives, you're supposed to at least achieve your highest goal. Not otherwise. Walking hand in hand through the pyre. Ascend from nature to divinity's height. That means marriage must be evolutionary in its scope. The couple must evolve together. So they have to ascend. If they don't evolve together, it has no meaning. So there is the evolutionary. You may start with anything, maybe even an attraction or whatever. But the evolutionary principle should be there. It's not like, okay, now I'm married, I'm settled in one area. Most people take it, okay, married, tick mark, now this over. Now children, okay, this also over. Now I must focus on career. And then the wife says, my God, I married this fellow. Because according to him, it's over. But it's not over. It's beginning. Face the high gods, crowned with felicity. So you have to ascend to the heights of divinity. You have to meet the same things which they are there in nature, must discover their purified, refined sense, thought, feelings. They must be refined through the process of marriage. Then meet a greater God, thyself beyond time. So all this must take you to a point where finally, of course, the sanctum sanctorum, you stand alone. You may walk to the ashram together, enter the ashram together. But don't say we'll hold the hand and bow to Mother and Aurobindo together. Because that's the joy of each soul for its own discovery. That's how it should be. So this is the great ideal.
I have a question.
Jema.